willpower is not enough.
Yeah.
Willpower is not enough when you are shaking, sweating, shitting, vomiting.
Yep.
Willpower is not enough because it's just like, for, you know, for me, drinking became, it felt like life or death.
Yeah.
Because like by day two, I'm like,
dude, yeah, you're shaking.
Yeah, day three, I can't sleep. I'm sweating through my sheets.
And it's also like dangerous because you have withdrawal seizures and like.
Yeah, it's super dangerous. So at that point, willpower is out the door.
Yeah.
Now that I'm sober, I have willpower.
Yes.
Because I don't have substances in my body.
Yes.
But when I have substances in my body, the willpower is gone.
It's gone, yeah.
Welcome to the Most High Show, a show about recovery, spirituality, and all that. Produced, posted, and hosted by people in recovery who have strength and hope and want to share it with you. If you or someone you love is suffering, we want you to know you are not alone. This is the Most High Show.
All right, we're live. Welcome to the Most High Show, made by and for people in recovery. A show about recovery, spirituality, and being human. Our mission is to provide impactful, community-driven media that informs, empowers, and inspires positive change. Real people, real stories, real life. This is the Most High Show. And tonight, it's me, Mario. No, it's me, Josie, and Sarah.
Hi.
How are you doing, Sarah?
Great. How are you?
Fantastic.
Awesome. Oh, wait, we forgot about these guys, though.
Oh, I forgot that they were there.
Yeah.
This is, these are our friends tonight. They're our emotional support puppets. Mm-hmm. Fred.
Larry.
Hansel. They'll be joining us tonight. And this episode, we are doing a comfy, cozy, cuddly cast.
Cute.
With questions from a normie.
Yay.
Is there anything you want to get off your chest before we start answering questions out of the bowl?
You know what? I've lived my entire life for this moment, and I think I'm ready.
Thank God.
Thank you, God.
So we've got questions from a normie, and what that means is, so we're obviously addicts, obviously, and we collected questions from somebody who is not in... who is not an addict, so they're not in recovery. Mm-hmm. And so that is what we consider in the addiction community, normie. Mm-hmm. So these are questions that would probably help anyone out there. Like maybe if you're questioning, like, am I a normie? Mm-hmm. Or you yourself are a normie and you have like a family member or a friend and you want to know the answers to certain questions, but you don't know how to ask them, then this episode is perfect for you. So... we're just going to pick at random and then answer the questions.
Hell yes.
Okay. I'm going to shake it up. Shake it up.
Okay, let's see.
Wait, so and my blanket is not real fur.
Yeah, this is faux.
Don't cancel
PETA,
me.
Please.
Yeah, don't cancel me. It's not real. It's faux fur. It's faux fur. Go ahead, Sarah.
You look like Jon Snow. I can't get over it. And I love it from Game of Thrones. It's just amazing. All right. So this is for you, right?
Well, we're both going to answer it.
Oh, we're both going to answer it. Okay. Looking back, were there moments when help was offered but you rejected it? And what? Or it just says what, but I think it got cut off. So just disregard that. Okay.
Were there times that I needed help but I didn't want it?
It was like offered to you, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the first times was... several years ago, and well, actually, never mind. Let me backtrack. So when my drinking got out of control, I actually started going to meetings because I remembered my ex would go to meetings, mm-hmm. and I started to feel uncomfortable with just like the hangovers and the amount I was drinking. So I started going to meetings on my own, but then when I relapsed, my sister had asked me if I thought I needed help. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. And the reason being is because when I stopped drinking and I got sober for 5 months, I had told my family about you know, I think I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meetings. I'm not drinking anymore.
Right.
And they were super supportive of it. But when I relapsed, I tried to play it off as that I can control my drinking.
Yeah, like that was just a...
Yeah, I was like, oh, I just need like a little cleanse.
Little reset. Obvious,
because I knew that they were normies.
Right.
I'm like, I was able to stop for this period of time and now I've learned controlled drinking and they believed me.
Yeah.
So then I remember when things started getting really crazy and you know, my sister especially would notice a change in my behaviors. Mm-hmm. She was like, do you think you need help? And it was just too difficult for me to admit that, yeah, I do. I actually can't control.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like weird too, because, you know, I know for me with the first time, I didn't really know what addiction was, what alcoholism was. Like, I knew that, like, some people in my family, like, they just didn't drink anymore. They didn't, you know what I mean? So, it's like, you don't really, I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, but basically, it's like, the first time before I went to treatment, I was just like, you know, I'm just drinking too much. I'm just doing, like, too many drugs. Like, it'll... You know, I can stop. And I was like, okay, I would like make a game for myself. If I stop for X amount of time, then that gives me an excuse to go back because I'm not really an addict or an alcoholic. And here I am back in jail or treatment or something.
Do you remember the first time someone asked you if you needed any type of help?
Yeah, it was like, it was, what year was it? It was 2016. So almost 10 years ago. I went to my mom, and this is like what I was kind of touching on a second ago, because I didn't know really about whole treatment thing, detox, rehab, all that. I remember going to my mom and being like, dude, I think there's something wrong with me. Like, I don't know, like all my friends are just like done with me. Everyone, you know, tells me I'm crazy and like I don't remember. Like, I black out a lot. I'm drinking every day, like blah, 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 blah. And that was like the very first time I went to rehab. Mm. And then that started this whole this whole thing.
A whole bumpy ride.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. Next question. When you were using, what did you want non-addicts to understand but felt they never really did? It's kind of a loaded question.
Yeah.
When you were using, what did you want non-addicts to understand but felt they never did?
You know what? Definitely like the mental and emotional aspect of it. Because I think for me, that was the reason I got high. Because my fucking brain inside was just turmoil all the time. All the trauma, all the like baggage, the family problems, the, you know, being out and addiction, all that stuff. It was like, I think I kept trying to hammer home that, like, you know, I get high because I don't know how to deal with that. And I think that's what I was trying to hammer home with it. Like, you know, I need help with the mental. Because for a long time, I was just like, well, I'm just an addict. Like, I don't know why. And it's like, it's definitely because of the emotional aspect of it, you know?
Yeah.
What about you?
What I wanted non-addicts to understand was it wasn't their fault.
Mm.
So, especially with my family, yeah. It was not their fault. It's nothing that they did.
Right.
Same with, you know, same with my kids, like my older son.
Yeah.
You know, he's 11, so he's, you know, hopeful, you know, right now he's a non-addict. addict to Roblox. But what I would want them to understand is that it's not their fault.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that they can do to help me because I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I need to be ready. And it doesn't, this might sound harsh, but it doesn't really matter what you say to me.
Yeah.
But it's not your fault. And I just like really want to stress that, like I said, especially to like family, because it can, you know, I remember my mom saying, I just kept wondering, you know, she would come over to my apartment and I'd be so wasted mm-hmm. that my older son would have to call her to come over and help. And I remember she'd be like, what can I do?
Yeah.
And it's like, there's, I guess there are things that you can do, but I just, you know, don't take it personal.
Yeah. And that's so true. Cause I know my mom was the same way. She was like, she was willing to do whatever it took to help me. And I don't think it was, you know, God bless my mom, dude. I really put her through the ringer, and, you know, she never once left my side. And, you know, she was the same way. And, I think it wasn't until I was like truly ready to get sober that like, that I could see like, wow, like people do care, like people want to help, and they're willing to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else we got in there? Let's see. Okay. How do you deal with people who don't trust your sobriety yet?
Huh?
Do we have anyone like that?
So I have 20 months sober now. Mm-hmm. And
hell yeah.
I haven't come across anybody recently who doesn't trust my sobriety. Yeah. If anything, I've been so open and out loud with it. I do sometimes wonder if, you know, if people think that I'm like lying.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have dealt with people who were like, how do you not drink?
Mm-hmm. Like that guy. Yeah.
like right before this, when we went to get food, this man had like the world's biggest bottle of liquor. It was like gigantic. And he was talking to us and asking us questions. And it's, you know, he made a comment. He was like, you know, but I walked in here and I thought, wow, these are two beautiful girls. And I was like, yeah, we are beautiful girls. We just don't drink. Because like the way he was saying it was like, I walked in here and I just thought you guys were just so beautiful. Like, as if like it was very surprised, you know, to then hear us say that we have substance abuse problems. was like, oh, but you're like actually attractive. So right. I think it's not necessarily that people will wonder if I'm sober. I think it's just that they're more so surprised.
Yeah.
Because I was, you know, I think that we're really good at holding it together and manipulating and making people believe what we want them to believe.
Right.
That until it gets so bad that it's like hard to hide it.
Yeah.
That people will be surprised that I'm just like sober just because.
Mm-hmm. It was too, it's like, dude. It's like we look good now that we're sober, but trust me, like last year, I promise you, you'd be like, what the hell? Where are her teeth at?
I wish I could get into that picture you showed me recently of you waving in front of the car.
Wait, which one?
You showed a pic. You were like, look at me. I thought I looked good in this picture.
Oh my
and
God.
You're like waving.
I'm like skin and bones. I have track marks everywhere.
Yeah. It's so, you know, maybe at first, you know, my youngest son, his dad didn't believe me.
Yeah.
He was like, you're just an alcoholic, like, you know, blah, 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 that type of stuff. And he would oftentimes, if I would get upset with him, he'd be like, are you drinking? And it's like, well, you know, just because I get upset, it does not mean that I'm drinking. Like, you're just an asshole.
Yes, exactly. That's, I've been met with that a couple times too. Because I know for me, I was not a one chip wonder. Like, it has taken, you know, almost a decade to get to this point in my recovery journey. And so, rightfully so, people did have a lot of doubt with me coming in. Like, people did put a lot of boundaries up, like, hey, you know, we're just trying to gauge where you're at. You know, we need to make sure of some things before we just full throttle let you back into our lives, because I did wreak a lot of havoc on people. You know, I was constantly overdosing, going to jail, like stressing people out to the point where it was like, it's a lot for other people. Like, at the time I was like, well, I'm just fucking my own self up, so it doesn't matter. But like, truly, that's like a lot for a mother to go through. Like, my mom, you know, she was probably staying up nights, and like, so yeah, it's just
I think too, when I remember early into my recovery, I wanted to tell everybody, hey, everybody, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Hey,
yes.
Everybody, I'm sober. Mm-hmm. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody. And I did it the first time I went to treatment. I got out and I was like, it's
mass
time.
Email.
You know, I'm ready. This is it for me, guys. And then I relapsed. Yep. And then I relapsed again and again and again and again and again. And then I went back to treatment.
Yep.
And then I got out the second time and I was like, okay, everybody, I'm here. And I remember my sponsor was like, enough.
Yep.
She's like, how many times?
Enough with the foolishness.
Enough. She's like, what? How many times are you going to say that? I'm like, but I haven't said sorry that many times.
Yeah.
She's like, yeah, but you already did it once before.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, you need to start, you need to live. And I'm like, but how can I live and not say something? Like, I don't want people to think that I'm, she's like, it doesn't matter what they think. You need to just do the work and live. And so I've done that.
Yeah.
You know, I had just, I've done the steps. I've done therapy.
Mm-hmm.
I really try hard to walk the walk and mm-hmm. talk the talk, but less talk of the talk.
Yeah.
More of walking. And because I do that, it has really helped me over time where it's like, I've just proven myself without having to say a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Dude, that's such a good point. Oh my God. I can't tell you how many times I was like, you know, I'm one of those recovery out loud girlies and I love that. But like in the past.
Hashtag recovery out loud girlies.
Hashtag. In the past, like, I, you know, I'd string together like a couple weeks or something and I'd go on Instagram and I'd post this long post with all these pictures about how I'm like taking it super serious this time, guys. Like, da 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 da, this is like everything. And then I'd like relapse like a couple days later. And then I'd be like, okay, it's just crickets. Like, that's super embarrassing.
Well, that's why it took me until last month to really put myself out there online.
Yeah.
Because prior to that, like, I sprinkle like memes, I sprinkle certain things.
Yeah.
Like when I got 1 year sober, I reposted, my sponsor was like, is it okay for me to post like happy 1 year?
Mm-hmm.
And it is very like discreet.
Yeah.
If you know, you know, type of shit.
Right.
You know. If you know, you know.
If you know type
but
of shit.
But I wouldn't put everything out loud like that because the first I went to detox, seriously, I didn't put on social media, but I texted everyone who was wondering where I was. I was like, here's the story.
Yeah.
I went to detox. And then
just copy and
now
and paste.
I'm never drinking. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I think I put it in my notes.
Yep.
Oh man, and you know it got so cringe, you know.
Yeah.
So it has a lot to do with, you know, like walking the walk.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. If you could speak to yourself right before sobriety, what would you say?
Bitch, get that shit the fuck together. No, I'm just kidding.
I think you should say that.
I need a little tough love.
If I could speak to myself right before sobriety, what would I say? Just listen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Josie, just listen.
Yes.
Stop trying to, what is...
like, manipulate it?
Stop trying to rework the formula. Stop trying to do it your own way. Just listen to these people because, like, this is to me the crazy part. It's like, mm-hmm. put me in detox, pump me with the proper meds,
mm-hmm.
pump me with therapy, pump me with a caseworker,
mm-hmm.
give me all the things.
Yeah.
But then... When they're telling me, hey, so this is what we suggest.
Yeah.
I'm like, liar.
I'm like, liar! What the hell? What the hell? How dare you?
You're lying. Oh, they just want, I'll start telling myself everything. Like, they just want, that's impossible. I can't do that.
Yeah.
They don't understand my life. They don't understand
make
this.
Amends. What the fuck?
They don't understand what I'm, go to sober living. Do PHP.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I can't do that.
I gotta get back to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't work full time.
Yeah.
Ask for help.
Yeah. Oh,
so
God.
I would just tell myself, like, listen.
Yep.
Because these are people that had a lot more time than me. And even if they weren't, you know, in recovery, like
mm-hmm.
my therapist in treatment, she wasn't in recovery, but she would deal with 100 of me every week.
Yeah.
And it's like you see what works and you see what doesn't.
Exactly.
And so, yeah, I would just say, like, just freaking listen.
Mm-hmm.
Little girl.
Little girl. Okay. Do you ever miss the person you wore were before sobriety? Even knowing the damage. Honestly, I wouldn't say miss, but like, I think I want to give her a hug.
Aww.
You know what I mean? Because like, she was just lost. Yeah.
Here, hug the puppet.
Come here.
Hug the puppet.
Come here, Papa.
Yeah.
Hug her. We've been calling Christian Papa.
There you go.
Here we go.
Hug the puppet and talk to her.
This is my baby now. So. I know Kim is probably like, I think I would give her a hug, man. Like, she was just lost. She was broken, dude. Like, I think I was so quick to, like, when I first came in, I was like, man, what the fuck, dude? Like, I was fucking crazy. And I was crazy. But, like, I was just so quick to condemn myself. But truly, I really never learned, like, the coping mechanisms. I never truly worked through my trauma. And so, knowing what I know now, yeah, I would give her some love. What about you?
Let me say it again. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Do you ever miss the person you were before sobriety? The only thing I miss, let me think what I miss. Mm-hmm. There were some fun times.
Yeah.
Okay, so like I said, we went to get something to eat mm-hmm. before this, and we was right next to a liquor store. And we're joking. We're like, oh, the liquor store, we just never come back. We just never come to the show.
We just dip out, ghost everyone.
Yeah, Kim and Leslie are just calling us, and we're just drunk. And I'll think about that. I'll be like, you know, I had fun times. Mm-hmm. But I've trained myself to do this. I will play the tape forward. And I picture, okay, it would start out fun. Mm-hmm. But what the fuck would happen next?
Yeah.
And then I think about, if I were to do that, it would just throw all this down the toilet. So I guess for me, it's like I miss the spontaneousness.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I still am spontaneous, but not in a dangerous way.
Exactly. That's the whole thing, dude.
Not in a dangerous way. Not in a way of like, you know, drinking and driving.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
Oh my God, yeah.
Shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So I'll miss that aspect mm-hmm. of it, of like, you know, feeling like we're going, you know, we're doing yeah. something crazy. Like, you know, seeing that man with that gigantic bottle and it's like the shenanigans of the night, yeah. you know, but it, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's not even, I got to already experience that.
Yeah, dude. I think when I first came in sober, I was so delusional. I was like, oh my God, dude, like, what do you mean I'm gonna have to get up and work a 9-to-5, live in the white picket fence, have a normal life? Gross. I was like, I miss like the spontaneous, I miss the adventures. And you know what the adventures would be? The adventures would be trying not to overdose in a shitty motel.
Yeah.
Trying not to owe a plug. Like, I'm racking that bill up. How long till he finds me? I don't know. Fun game I like to play.
Yeah. So you know what's like, it's, you know what's fun about being spontaneous and yeah. active addiction? Doing a whole bunch of drugs, and then everyone's like, oh man, and then the dealer's like, who's paying for all this?
Yeah.
So who's my God, that's so fun.
Oh my God, the time.
But yeah, it's like, and when, you know, when I think about it, it's like, I do spontaneous things now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do spontaneous things now. You know what? This isn't even boring. Buying this blanket was spontaneous.
That's what I'm saying. This is great. This is fun. That's fun. Textile. Tactile.
It's comfortable. Yeah. Yeah. I don't. Oh, man. What do you think non-addicts misunderstand most about willpower and addiction?
Willpower and addiction.
So have you ever had somebody be like, my mom used to say this to me.
Yeah.
Shout out, mom. She would be like, this is my favorite story. She'd go, I'd be like, so toast, you know, mm-hmm. or hungover. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, mom, I quit psychocant. I just like can't do this. Mm-hmm. And she's like, you know, Josie, when your father died, I was drinking a lot of wine. And one day you were crawling, you were 2 years old, and you were crawling around, moving around. And I look around and there's like boxed wine everywhere. She said, I threw it all down the drain mm-hmm. and I stopped drinking. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, Marrr!
Yeah,
because
dude.
I'm like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
I have done that.
Right.
I have poured liquor down the drain.
Right.
And then 1 hour later, I'm dripping bullets and I'm touching the doorknob of the door. I'm going to the door. I'm holding the doorknob and I'm walking backwards and I'm opening DoorDash and I'm pulling my hair and I'm moving money around mm-hmm. and then next thing you know, I've got liquor in front of me and I'm yep. drinking it.
Yep.
And it's like, when for me, it's like, I'm an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I'm an addict. I have no willpower.
That's what it is.
Against my master.
Yeah.
My master is alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like all willpower is lost.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
Once I get a drink in my body, the obsession starts immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So with addiction, it's just like,
it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if only it were that easy, if only, Jesus, I never thought of that. Just putting it down. Hey, man.
Flush it on the toilet.
Yeah, man. Just pour it down the sink, dude. It's that easy. Holy shit.
Our brains just don't work that way.
They don't work that way. Yeah. I wish. Actually, you know what? I don't wish, because everything led to this moment.
Yeah.
Everything led to this moment. And I think what we have now is something that can help other people. And yeah, I know for me, like, I had, you know, people in my family who aren't addicts, they'd be like, Sarah, like, holy shit, you have a lot of consequences from getting high. Maybe stop. Like, I was like, at that point, I was fully addicted. My body was addicted. And it was like, you know, I wanted to stop. I was having all these consequences. But it's like, when I try to stop, I'd immediately go into withdrawal. And I was like, it was just such a, like, revolving door of, like, chaos of, like, okay, I want to quit. But then it's like, okay, but treatment is just like, how am I going to get in? How's the insurance going to clear before I'm like not sick enough where I'm like dying on the floor? You know, it was just like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
It's also for non-addicts, because they haven't experienced
mm-hmm.
certain things that we have. Like I had a thought, and it's like, if you're a non-addict, have you ever gone through like withdrawals,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, such like intense cravings,
yeah,
where willpower is not enough.
Yeah.
Willpower is not enough when you are shaking, sweating, shitting, mm-hmm. vomiting.
Yep.
Willpower is not enough because it's just like, for me, drinking became, it felt like life or death.
Yeah.
Because like by day two, I'm like,
dude, yeah, you're shaking.
Yeah, day three, I can't sleep. I'm sweating through my sheets.
And it's also like dangerous because you have withdrawal seizures and like.
Yeah, it's super dangerous. So at that point, willpower is out the door.
Yeah.
Now that I'm sober, I have willpower.
Yes.
Because I don't have substances in my body.
Yes.
But when I have substances in my body, the willpower is gone.
It's gone. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Next little thing. Let's see here. Oh, I grabbed two.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, wait. I think this was the one we just did. It's about willpower.
Oops. I didn't mean to put that in there. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. This is split into two. Well, this is, how honest are you about relapse thoughts?
Ooh, that's a good one.
And who gets that honesty?
Who gets that honesty?
Yeah.
Like,
how honest are you when you have relapse thoughts? Well, Sarah's very honest because I'm going to let you tell it.
Oh, God, dude. I will say I've reached the threshold where I'm like, I don't give a fuck, dude. I don't care. I used to care so much about what people thought in the rooms. I'll be like, oh, my God, like, they would know that I'm not super recovered if I have, like, an intense, you know, using thought or something. I would be like, I don't know. I would just I would get in my head about it, so I wouldn't talk about it. Now I'm like, bitch, I want to get fucking high. Like, I am struggling. Because it's just like, that's how it should be. I feel like there is so much shame around it, especially when you get more time under your belt. Because you're like, okay, now everyone's going to be watching you super intensely. Or people are going to think your program's not strong. Like the program of AA or HA, whichever, like in recovery. People are gonna think that I'm not quote unquote recovered enough because I'm having these thoughts. But like, dude, fuck that. Because that's just a normal part of it. And I think, you know, if you're used to putting substances in your body for literally years and years, like when you get sober, it's just not gonna immediately be like poof, it's gone, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And I think it's more powerful to telling yourself, the way that you do it. And oh, for me, that's what I had to do.
Yeah.
I had to, I remember I had about 4 months at the time, and I was working in Buckhead, and there was a gas station next to it with a liquor store inside of it.
Oh God.
Which first of all was like, where have you been all my life? But that, no, but I was like, what the heck? What kind of, why is there a, anyway.
Yeah.
So I'd never seen, I've never seen such a thing. Why is there a liquor store at the gas station? Part one. And I walk, I didn't know there's a liquor store in there. I thought it was next door. So I walk into this gas station and it's like, there's like a long hallway and it has like convenience store items.
Mm-hmm.
And I grab like my chips and my drink and there's no employee. So I go through the doors, the second set of doors, and it's like, boom, liquor store.
Oh my God.
And I'm not kidding you. I almost broke out into a sweat. I could feel it. Cause I hadn't been in a liquor store in like, you know, four months and I was alone.
Yeah.
So there's this guy, he has, he has got sunglasses on. He looks like he's going through the gigs.
Yeah.
And he's buying a pint. And I was like, I feel like I know what he's going through. Mm-hmm. And then there's another guy in front of me. And he starts talking to me and talking to me. And it felt like an eternity that I'm in this liquor store.
Oh, my God.
And I walked out of the liquor store. And I stood outside for a minute. And I was like, oh, man. I could go back in there. And I could get a drink. I could get a bottle.
Yeah.
And I'm in Buckhead. And I could just, like, tell my job this and blah, 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 blah. And instead, I immediately sent a text to two different people, and I was like, I feel like drinking.
Yeah.
And I immediately told on myself.
Yeah.
Because I really thought about relapsing, and I had played the tape forward, and it's like, what, I knew what was I going to end up doing?
Mm-hmm.
Drunk and in Buckhead walking around, that I'd have to lie, you know, lie to people and concoct a whole bunch of shit, but that wasn't going to stop me. And so I texted a couple people, and I ended up getting hopping on a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a coworker that was in recovery at that time. And I went, so I sent that text, those texts as I'm walking into the building. I hop on a phone call outside the building. I go inside the building, and I talk to my coworker about it.
Dude, that's amazing. That's powerful right there. Honestly, I really relate to that because, you know, I mean, I talked to you about what happened recently.
Mm-hmm.
I had a situation where someone close to me relapsed, and it like shook me to my core just because, you know, I think with those situations, when you see that, it's like, I don't know, like when someone reaches a certain point of recovery, you're like, oh, they never relapse. I don't know. I guess it's not true, but like, it's cause you know, all we have is today. But in my head, I was like, yeah, dude, that's the last thing I would ever think would happen. And they did relapse, and I remember every fiber of my being was like, oh my God, I want to get high. I want to get high. I want to escape. I want to fucking escape. I can't explain it, but it was just like when it was described how close to home it was, I was like, oh my God. And so literally in that moment, I was like, I have a decision to make. I was like, I can go to the fucking plug right now. Or I need to hop on this fucking phone call. Literally, without even thinking, I'm dialing people in AA. I'm like calling. People aren't answering, so I'm calling until someone does. I called you. I think actually you were my first phone call. You picked up. Thank you, God, for Josie. But yeah, and I just like, just calling people and getting out of that shit. Because it's like, I know for me, when I'm stuck in it, I have to immediately change it to like, okay, let's make some calls. But yeah,
I am my addiction's biggest opposition.
Yes.
And biggest I have op. To be. I'm the biggest op of myself. Because the thing is, in the past, that situation with me outside of that liquor store, I would have kept that to myself.
Yeah.
And then the next time I go to that gas station, that thought is lingering.
Yes. That's
and then I go to that gas station again, it starts manifesting. And actually, after that situation, I didn't go to that convenience store for like a month.
Yeah.
Because it gave me anxiety, but like I have to tell on myself, because in the past when I didn't tell on myself, it would just manifest.
Yeah.
And it's like I'm keeping this little secret and it almost feels like, to me, like planning.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. No, that's such a good point. You know, that's I think with that, I definitely yeah, I'm glad I told on myself and I stopped those thoughts of like, what will people think, you know, if I want to get high? Like, bitch, that's what's expected. I'm a fucking junkie. Like, you know, I'm in recovery.
Right.
So it's like, it's expected to have those thoughts, especially in early sobriety. So
especially because that's like our go-to.
Yeah. That's our,
it's our, that was our go-to thing for a long time. I'm happy. I'm sad. I'm mad. I'm anxious. I'm celebrating.
Yeah.
I'm grieving.
Yeah.
Drink.
Yep.
Speaking of relapse, these are connected.
Yeah, yeah.
They're tweens. Do you believe relapse is part of recovery or a failure?
Listen, I think, you know, relapse is a big part of my story. I know different people have different takes on it, but for me, I have been in and out of addiction for, you know, a decade. And I think with that, what was I gonna say, man? It just flew out. Just flew out of my head.
Well, I'll tell you this.
Yeah, tell me something.
I'm gonna spit some game at you right now.
Spit some game at me, please.
We had Ricky here last week. Mm-hmm. He said relapse doesn't have to be part of your story.
Yeah.
And I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be.
Right.
But I don't believe that relapse is a part of recovery. Mm-hmm. I believe relapse is a part of the cycle of addiction.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Because when we're in recovery, we're in recovery, we're working a program, mm-hmm. we're spiritually sound. Mm-hmm. We're growing, mm-hmm. we're sober.
Right.
And what I've noticed, you know, is that like relapse is just like when you're just like it's stuck in like that
in
cycle.
The loop. Yeah.
And it's also, and like I said, it's part of addiction. So I don't see relapse as a failure.
Right.
But at the same time, like if you can get it on your first try.
Hell yeah. Like Ricky, run that, brother. Please.
Good job. Great. You know, and that's not to say that anybody thinks that they're better than.
Right.
Like, Katie's boyfriend's here and he's like, I haven't relapsed. And that doesn't mean that I think I'm better than anybody.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, the message hit you. That's the way I see it. Like the message hit and you were ready, mm-hmm. and you were willing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But.
That's a good point. You know, I think I love that take because it's like, you know, if you can get it on the first try, please do that. That is amazing. I think for other people, it takes what it takes, you know. I would say for me, I'm just so glad that AA in recovery is set up the way it is, because if I would have felt shamed by my relapses or anything, I don't think I would have made it back. So the fact that everyone in the rooms is just so like, loving and understanding of that, it makes it so you don't feel so isolated, because I know in my mm-hmm. youth I felt isolated. And I was, you know, if I would have felt like I don't know, like people were judging me or whatever, I you know, I wouldn't have made it back. So
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no shame in the relapse game.
Hell yeah, baby.
Well, I don't know if I should say it like that. There's no shame. There's no shame in the relapse game.
But don't make that the
You don't have to get stuck in that
cycle.
Yeah,
don't get stuck in the loop.
You don't have to get stuck in the loop. You don't have to get stuck in the hamster wheel.
Yep.
All right, go.
Okay, let's see what we got here. What does support look like that actually helps, not enables? That's a good one.
Support that actually helps, not enables. Cut people off.
Cut them off, baby.
Cut people off. I was talking to a friend about this. If you reach out to me and you're asking me for $7, for $5, for $10,
mm-hmm.
and it's because, oh my gosh, you know, I need gas.
I need to go buy a turtle.
And I'm going to pay you back tomorrow. I'd rather see if I can give you a ride.
Yeah.
Or I'll give you like a gas gift card.
Yep.
But I also have to protect myself. And, and as non-addicts, you know, like with my family, like they have to protect themselves too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really blessed that I didn't burn the bridge with them to the point of like to the point of like, I didn't get to the point of no return with them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I wouldn't blame them if they had to like cut me off.
Oh yeah.
If whether that be communication, whether that be financially, whether that be even. So let me tell you this, my cousin's girlfriend, when I relapsed the last time, mm-hmm. my mom took my oldest son and I took my youngest to my cousin's house. Mm-hmm. And recently, around this time last year, her and I were talking and she's like, when you brought your son, you know, you brought him over, she's like, you really reeked of liquor. And mm-hmm. I didn't know what to say to you. And I was worried that if I said something, you'd take him. But I was worried if I didn't say something, you were gonna like get hurt because I knew you were getting in your car.
Right.
But she's like, I had to think about your son and I didn't let you in the house. Mm-hmm. She's like, I took him from you outside of the house and took him inside just in case because I just needed to keep him safe.
Yeah.
And when I heard her say that, I felt so...
It's like a blow to the chest.
I didn't even realize it, but to me, it's like, that is the kind of thing you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she had to protect her home, her peace. Thankfully, she took my son in.
Yeah.
You know, she didn't have to, but she did.
Yeah.
And so she was like protecting her family and protecting my son. But not even by just being like, you know, there's something going on with Josie.
Yeah.
I thought she was sober. She's clearly not. And she's like, and then I got on the phone and I think she said she made like a phone call or talked to her mom. And they, at that point, you know, later that night, I ended up back in treatment. But
yeah,
I would say things like that, you know, when it's really hard,
mm-hmm.
if you have to cut somebody off, you got to cut them off.
Dude, that's a really good point. Yeah, I know. Yeah, good on your friend for that, because that's like, that's hard to do. And I know like in those moments, when I've had people cut me off, I was like, fuck that bitch. Like, how dare they hate me. They don't give a shit about me. That's not true. I think in my delusional thinking, in my addiction, I am so convinced that everyone's out to get me. They want to abandon me. But the truth of the matter is, like, I fail to see how my addiction affects other people, and them cutting me off, it's like they don't want to see me kill myself anymore. It's like, I don't think that, you know, from the outside looking in on me, they see this person who's overdosing, constantly in and out of the hospital, going through all this crazy stuff, constantly in like unsafe situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it gets to a point where it's like, they have to say enough is enough. And, you know, everyone that cut me off, you know, I've spoken with coming back in. And it's like, you know, they were like, we love you so much that we had to do it. We can't see you do that to yourself anymore. So it's like, I totally get that.
It's also the way I see it, too, is like for myself, when I deal with friends that have gone back out, it's mm-hmm. like, if I help them.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still not going to get them sober.
Yeah, exactly.
And if I don't help them,
mm-hmm.
I'm still not going to get them sober, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least I'm putting a boundary.
Yeah.
And I'm drawing a line in the sand.
Yeah.
Because I've been in that, as an addict, it's like, I've been in that place. And let me tell you something. If I knew I could take advantage of you or manipulate you, I'm doing it.
Yes. Oh, my God. I can't tell you how many fucking people I hit up in my addiction. I'm like, yo, let me get like $20. I'm like, I really need to get like some food or something. And then I would send that out like a mass text to like 10 people.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was so bad. And like, yeah, I would manipulate everyone. And then if they wouldn't do it, or if they would set a boundary and be like, you know, Sarah, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm concerned about you. I'd be like, you're fucking crazy. Like, dude, just like, I'm just trying to get some food. Like, you really don't want to help me. I was just crazy.
Dude, yeah. It's like, okay, well, you know, if somebody, you know, for like normies out there,
mm-hmm.
my advice would be like, if somebody's like, I want to get some food. Okay. Do you need me to take you to the grocery store?
Yes, exactly.
I can I can, you know, now you can send virtual gift cards.
Yep.
Let me send you a virtual gift card to McDonald's.
Yep. That's exactly what it is. That's exactly
and so,
what it is.
Because, you know, it can be like, I'm, you know, I care about you and I don't want you to starve.
Right.
And I don't want you to go, you know, basically, you know, in that case, I don't want you to starve.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to give you just cash and and help facilitate in your addiction.
That's exactly what it is, June.
Yeah.
What's the next one, baby?
Okay, let's see. I think we got time for a couple more.
Cool.
I don't like that question. How fragile does early recovery feel and how do you protect it?
Ooh. So honestly, yeah, I know I've touched on it, you know, a couple times, but, you know, I am a little over 4 months sober. I guess I'm coming up on 5 months sober. Who the fuck is she?
I snap your fingers.
And do your step. And we can do it all by yourself. Okay. Oh, my naked foot slipped out of the blanket.
Kim, did you get the naked foot?
No free feet content. What was the thing?
Oh, how fragile is early recovery? Oh, how do you protect it?
Yeah, okay. So for me, being in early sobriety, a lot of that is, okay, I blocked everyone's number from my past who I had even a slight intersection with in my addiction that was maybe like an old dealer, maybe an old using friend, whatever the case may be. Everyone's blocked. Y'all get a block. And that's just to safeguard myself so I'm not tempted to, you know what I mean? Wait, what was the thing again?
How fragile.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I have a brain injury.
So I guess for you, what you're trying to say is,
yes,
it's so fragile that you block and remove yourself from these people.
Yes, exactly. It's like I have to, I can't, I got to block and then really just call myself out, you know, if it's in, meet myself where I'm at. If I'm struggling, I'm not going to keep that shit in, you know?
Yeah, I love that about you.
Oh, thanks.
You're so... you wear your emotions on your sleeve.
I sure
am. But I love it. Aww. I mean, like, it's just... it's very real.
Aw, thank you.
For me, it's so it was so fragile that my youngest father was a big trigger for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he... Basically, this is what I did. I came up with a plan.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to my mom. I talked to my sister. And I had as little contact with him as possible because my early recovery was so fragile that I had no room and no time for bullshit, for arguing, for line stepping, for none of it.
Right.
So I wasn't sober living, so already a big part of communication mm-hmm. was with my mom and my sister.
Yeah.
But I just utilized them and thank God for them because it was through them that we arranged drop-offs, pickups, and
mm-hmm.
updates on our son.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I left sober living, I kept that same energy. And I would talk to, like, one time I called my sister. I said, I'm supposed to meet him, and I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do it. At that point, I was too early in my recovery and too fragile
mm-hmm.
that if I'm driving all the way past the airport where he worked
mm-hmm.
to take my son to him and he said the wrong thing to me, I'm drinking.
Yeah.
And it's not to blame somebody because it's like I would make that choice.
Right.
But it's not helping. Because I was in such a delicate state.
Yeah.
But it's like I knew I would make that choice.
Yeah.
So I talked to her. So I had to have a lot of conversations
mm-hmm.
and open up and be honest. And I had to remove that, oh, I feel guilty. I mm-hmm. feel like, I feel bad. Am I?
Yep.
Am I weak?
Yeah.
You know, am I doing too much?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Dude, that's such a good point. Holy shit. Yeah. I just really love what you have to say. I look up to you so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
Of course. We're for the girls.
We're for the girls. Hashtag for the girls. What parts of life actually became harder after getting sober?
Oh my God. You know what? The mental side of things. But with that, I will say it is forcing me to truly look at it for the first time in my life. You know, getting sober has been the most rewarding thing I've ever done. I feel so much more at peace. I feel so much more myself. But it has forced me to take a look at, okay, how am I showing up for other people? How am I showing up mentally? Yeah,
harder it would definitely be dealing with people, places, and things.
Yeah, true.
And not being able to, and not being able to escape it.
Yeah.
Sitting with your feelings.
Oh, fuck, dude.
For all the normies out there, if you sit with your feelings, shout out to you.
Shout out you.
That's really, really, really hard.
That's so hard. How do you do it?
Yeah. But you know what's interesting to me, though, is it feels like you're sitting in something and it feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
But I look at it like this, like, this is today, for example, mm-hmm. you know, the vibes were low.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say we all start drinking. Fuck this. I'm, you know, I hate this. I hate that. Do. That turns into sitting around, mm-hmm. dwelling,
yep.
miserable, mm-hmm. crying, mm-hmm. destruction,
mm-hmm.
versus, you know, we finally all expressed ourselves.
Yep.
And this is why I'm frustrated. Mm-hmm. And once we did, and we were able to like put our heads together and collaborate,
mm-hmm. immediately,
we made the show happen.
Yeah.
Like, we did that.
Yeah.
If we had sat here and been using drugs and alcohol, we wouldn't have figured this out.
Yeah, dude.
We would not have figured this out. We'd be like, hey, what's up? You know?
We'd be with that guy. Yeah.
with that guy at the store drinking with his friend that they, you know, they don't drink, but they've been drinking all month long. So it's hard. It's hard as hell when you come in here, you know, like coming into work and the vibes are low, mm-hmm. and
also
I feel grumpy and you're grumpy and I'm being rude and don't tell me I'm being rude because mm-hmm. I'm not being rude. I'm trying to give tough love, mm-hmm. and do. But then it's like, okay, we're able to like sit in those feelings and just work through it, even though it feels like you're going through quicksand. You're like,
like the Matrix. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
I can't.
But then you get through it.
Exactly. Yeah, I got pulled over today before I came in here, and I immediately was like, oh, fuck. You know what? This cop, the first time in my life, he gave me a warning, and I was like, you know what? Fuck. Why did I get pulled over? And sign language? I was like, I was so angry about it. I was so upset because I was like, now I'm late for work, and but he gave me a warning. That cop really fucked with me. He looked out.
You got a warning because you're sober.
I got a warning because I'm sober. My insurance is valid and my license is not suspended.
Yeah. And you weren't messed up.
I weren't messed up.
And you didn't have drugs and alcohol in the car. And you...
That's a blessing. That's a fucking blessing. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Okay, let's do one more.
Okay, one more.
One more, one more, one more. I need to pick a good one. Not good. No, we already answered that.
Oh, his hair feels weird.
What's one thing you're still unlearning?
One thing I'm still unlearning. Shit, man. I feel like this kind of ties in with everything. One thing I'm still unlearning is, I'm sober, but like not running to drugs after every minor inconvenience. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. so, or like, that's just kind of what I've known for the last couple years is, okay, things get bad, go get high. And so that's one thing where I'm like, okay, now that I'm sober, I'm working through the bad times. Cause you know, as a human being, times can't be fucking happy all the time. So now I'm just working through that. I'm in therapy, I'm on meds, I work the program of recovery, and to kind of stave that off.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
Unlearning negative self-talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's gotten better, but when I get stuck in places where it's like I'm not doing enough.
Yeah.
In my life, I'll start to beat myself up.
Yeah.
Why am I like this? Why am I doing this? Why? And I'm not smart enough. Mm-hmm. I'm annoying, or I'm this and I'm that. I'm still unlearning that. And because I did that for so many years, comparing myself to other people. Yeah. And then like by comparing myself to other people, but also thinking I'm better than other people.
Yeah.
And so I just have to like meet myself where I'm at and be grateful for the life that I have today. And like if I hadn't gone through all this stuff, I'd still probably be working at a job that I hate and be in a relationship where I was miserable.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, okay, I don't have my own house right now, but I'm not in a horribly toxic relationship and I'm not at a job that I am slaving away at to distract myself from everything else.
Right.
I'm not striving for success because I think that defines me.
Yep.
And I just have to appreciate that. Those.
Damn, that was fire. That was, Thank you. I relate to all that. Yeah. Negative self-talk is a huge one for me.
Thank you.
Yes.
Any closing thoughts? Actually, you know what? I have one thing.
Yeah. Fire it off.
That I wish was in this little bucket.
What?
Is why can't you just get sober for the people you love?
Ooh, that's a good one.
We'll end it with that.
That's a good one. So, for me, I wish it would have been that easy. Actually, let me rephrase that. I don't wish anything was different because everything led me to this moment to where I am now. But if that were enough, like, at the end of the day, addiction is like a chemical imbalance in my brain. I'm maladjusted to life. And wait, what was it again?
Why can't you get sober for the people you love?
Yeah. For so long, I asked myself that question. Why can't I get sober for the people I love? I was like, what's wrong with me? There's something defective about me, because no one in their right mind actively burns their life down and messes everyone up in their life like this. So, yeah, I think, honestly, at the end of the day, it's like I have to get sober, and I forgot what I was going to say, honestly. I'm sorry. I was trying to find it, and I lost it. I lost it so hard. Where did it go?
Where?
Hello?
So, I'll say, that was tough. That question is tough for me because I'm a mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kick myself and be like, why can't I get sober for my kids?
Yes.
My beautiful, healthy kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have to do it for myself.
Exactly. That's
it's
exactly.
It's the one area of my life. It's the one thing in my life that I have to do for me and only me at all times. Because once I do it for me, everything else follows.
Yes.
And it took me way too long to understand that. I tried to get sober for my kids. They would be at the top of my list. Mm-hmm. I'd be like, I can't have them see me in that state of on the floor, of passed out on the couch, of just nonsense. I cannot.
Yeah.
I have to get sober for them, and I would drink, and then I beat myself up even more.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing is, like, I would kill for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I would kill for the people I love.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody says something bad about my sister, I'm offing them verbally.
Yeah. Verbally.
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 Verbally. They're cooked. I'm cooking them. But I couldn't stop drinking for my sister. I couldn't stop drinking for my mom because my disease is so much more powerful.
That's what it is.
And it tells me, you ain't shit anyway.
Yeah.
And if you go to treatment, how dare you be so selfish?
Yes.
How dare you not be with them? How dare you neglect your responsibilities? Yep. You suck. Mm-hmm. You need to stay home. Mm-hmm. You need to be with your family. Mm-hmm. You need to be with your friends. You need to pay your bills. You need to get a job. If you don't have a job, you're lazy.
Yep.
You're a lazy, low-life bitch.
Yeah.
That's what my addiction says to me. Because it wants me to stay
sick.
Damn,
yeah.
So I have to do it for just me and only me, because my inner voice is like, oh, you want to get sober for your kids? Well, why aren't you there with them?
Yeah. Yep.
Why aren't you there with them then? Why are you hearing this treatment?
That fucking voice in our head has so much to say. I'm like, do you want to like go?
I thought I was possessed by a demon for a long time. Yeah. Because I'm like, I must be possessed by a demon if I cannot do the right thing for my family.
Right. No, I get that. That's honestly, for a long time I was
possessed by a demon.
I thought Voldemort took over or some shit. I was the same way. I was like, man, what the hell? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
I was, but you know what? Here we are today, and I'm so grateful to be sober and be here and be alive.
Me too.
Because I feel, like I said, you know, everything led to this moment.
Yeah.
This and perfect, you're here. Beautiful moment. I'm glad you're here.
It's so fucking
perfect.
All right. Well, that being said, everybody, we're going to wrap it up. Let's wrap it up with a serenity prayer. We're going to wrap it up. Thank you to all of our donors and sponsors for helping this show come alive.
Thank you.
For helping us be in this beautiful studio, this beautiful set with these beautiful puppets.
Puppetas.
And don't forget to like, subscribe, share. This episode will be on YouTube and the Most High app as well as the other episodes and other recovery centered content. Sarah is on Instagram and Facebook. I'm on Instagram and Facebook.
You can also send me a letter via mail. Actually, yep. Sorry, that was a...
You could send a letter to the Most High Media. and you can send by pigeon.
Carrier pigeon.
But thank you so much to everybody for your love and support. This has been the Most High Show.
Woo! I just found out they can wave like that.
Clap, 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 clap.